Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You are listening to a talk as part of the Contemporary Issues in Child Protection seminar series. This talk was recorded on the 15th of February 2011. Pam Greenlister, Senior Lecturer, University of Strathclyde, What Lessons Can Be Learned by the Police and Partner Agencies? A presentation on the recommendations of child abuse inquiries in respect of the police force.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm a senior lecturer at the Glasgow School of Social Work. I previously was, many years ago, a social worker and a senior social worker. At the Glasgow School of Social Work, I'm employed by Glasgow University, and I coordinate the Masters in Social Work programme. My research has been in social education, also in child protection, and I've done research for ACPOS, Greater Glasgow Primary Healthcare Trust, Glasgow Child Protection Committee, Western Isles Child Protection Committee, East Ayrshire Child Protection Committee, and others. So I'm not operational as such, but I do have some experience in terms of research. My colleague Moira McKinnon, who is there as Garth Associates, alter ego is Principal Officer Child Protection Glasgow, and she at the moment is in a house in the south of France, and I bear no ill will towards her whatsoever. So Moira was really good because Moira had an understanding of operational. So when I was doing a lot of the trawling and trying to understand what was happening in the literature, Moira was explaining to me how that kind of panned out in terms of operation. I want to acknowledge ACPOS. ACPOS gave money to Scottish Childcare and Child Protection Network, and after supporting the network, decided that what they would like to do is have a literature review of the recommendations, UK recommendations with regard to police, with regard to inquiries, serious case reviews in England and significant case reviews in Scotland. I'd also like to thank chairs and lead officers of Scottish Child Protection Committees because, as you know, significant case reviews aren't published in Scotland, and I needed assistance. It was often the police presence on Child Protection Committees who asked the lead officers to give me examples of their serious case reviews because they're not open to the public. So we were asked to identify and list all the UK National Inquiry reports and publish significant case reviews, to provide analysis of recommendations and to identify key themes from the analysis. What we did in the actual research is that, as well as looking at police recommendations, and you'll find that in the report which is on the SCCPN website, we also looked at interagency recommendations because we thought it's important to see police recommendations in the context of interagency recommendations. But today I'm concentrating on police recommendations, but it clearly has implications in terms of interagency, and I'm happy to take questions. Moira and I delivered this report to ACPOS a year ago in Stirling, and so that's when we made our presentation to the ACPOS Child Protection Committee. And subsequently, it's been published on the SCCPN website. So how did we go about it? We did an electronic search of databases, doing the usual things you do as a literature review, as an academic, going to the key databases, typing in keywords, seeing what came up. We searched bibliographies in the information which came to us. We looked at reports, we looked at studies. We did also a hand search of key journals, because what if you've ever done a database search, what you find is sometimes very key articles don't emerge because you've typed in the wrong keywords. So what we did was we made sure that we looked at key journals, looked at books that we knew, and also what we tried to do was contact relevant organisations. So we contacted child protection committees, and we also contacted voluntary organisations like Children First to ask if they've got anything which is often called grey literature, that is literature which isn't published, which could inform our understanding. So really, just to give some historical context to this, people remember the Clyde report, and what we know is in February 1991, nine children from four families in South Ranelagh were taken to a place of safety. The sheriff proceedings decided that that processors were incompetent. The reporter won the appeal, but decided not to take those to proof, proof to the sheriff, and so the children were returned to home. As a result of that, as we know, we've had the Children's Scotland Act and the 1998 guidance, which has in fact just been revised. The main issue which came out in terms of police and social work was concern about the clarity about the interviewing children, how they were interviewed, the number of times they were interviewed, and things like leading questions. There was also an issue about parental consent. The second major historical event was obviously the death of Kennedy McFarlane, and as a result of that there was the Scottish Child Protection Audit and Review, which was a multidisciplinary audit. And the main issues there was that they needed to have the right right information at the right time. They needed to be, CPCs needed to do a regular audit of practice, and there needed to be a review of the remit and structure of CPCCs. They called for what were then called child fatality reviews, and they were particularly concerned about substance misusing parents. And in terms of police recommendations, there was a concern that prior to CPCCs, at that time, police did not check on criminal convictions and report those to the Child Protection Case Conference. There was a concern that police didn't undertake extensive interviews with family members and neighbours when they were conducting an investigation. A concern that they didn't take at the time a forensic sample from an abuser. There were particular delays caused across police boundaries where information was being shared and it wasn't quite apparent whose responsibility it was. And at that point, there was no formal system of feedback to the reporter, so those were clear police recommendations from "It's Everyone's Job." What I'm going to do now is, in the report, I look at inquiry reports and significant case reviews separately. In the report, the inquiry reports are named because they're published, but the significant case reviews are not. They are called significant case review 1, 2 and 3. I eventually got 22 significant case reviews. I got replies from 30 child protection committees. 8 said they hadn't used the current significant case review procedure, and I got 22 significant case reviews, which I could then analyse. And I'm going to go through this. I've also added one, which is the Child Protection Case Conference. So I'm going to look at this, particularly with regard to findings from police. One of the key issues which came out of the Colin Evans inquiry report was that the police failed to share information. This child had, there was an incident of self-harm, the police failed to share information with social work, and that resulted in a child's death. There's an issue in terms of police being unsure about the type of information that came from both inquiry reports and serious case reviews, the type of information they should share at that time. For example, there were instances of breach of the peace or prostitution in the household, and that information was not shared at that time to child protection case committees because it was thought it didn't have a direct bearing on child protection, but of course it does have a bearing in terms of the child's lifestyle. There was one case review which I call Serious Case Review 23 where a young person was taken to hospital after taking heroin. The police were involved and they had substantial knowledge about drug misuse both of the young woman and her mother. There'd been previous referrals about concerns about drugs from the school to police. And in police files, it was noted that she was heavily pregnant, but they didn't, in spite of all that background information, they didn't refer to social work. There's a real concern about non-adherence to JIT protocol, and that is actually very current, because I know there's a recent case lost in High Court because of that, in terms of notes that police and social work have to write in terms of briefing notes and debriefing notes. And so that is still current. And there was a concern that there need to be a Scottish-wide approach to drug searches when children in the house, and particularly that there needed to be contact details of the detectives who undertook the drugs work, so it wouldn't go necessarily via FPU, but straight to detectives who actually were in the house and could give information. Access to police information was a major issue in both the inquiry reports and the serious case reviews. At the moment, I'm doing some research with the Child Protection Committee on their GERFEC approach to domestic abuse referrals, which police bring to a screening committee. And there, I can see lots of intelligence and lots of information is presented. So how much this is historical, I don't know, but I'm giving you what I found from the literature. There was a consideration of how other agencies might access police records. I've got Serious Case Review 7. A young person died of alcohol abuse when police and social work out of our service had been involved. So during that evening, both police and social work out of our service had been involved. But there was no... there seemed to be no recording in terms of police out of our service or evening service. And what it was suggested was that both agencies needed to review the record keeping and both agencies need to have a situation where they could access each of those records to check if the child had been in touch with police, to check if the child had been in touch with social work. This child had been in touch with both, but there was no communication between the two agencies. And Serious Case Reviews 11 and 14 are concerned with access to police intelligence about the potential activities of adults. As I say, in some recent research I'm doing with Moira, it seems that police are bringing intelligence to the table. Whether that's a particular authority, I don't know. But at this point in time, with these SCRs, it appears that police weren't bringing intelligence to the table about the potential activities. There's an issue about how other agencies, with appropriate safeguards, might get access to police records. One issue is about flagging system in the intelligence database, which other agencies could access. And the other suggestion at this time was that Family Protection Unit would be a key place to store that information. There were issues with regard to decision-making. Again, looking at Colin Evans, there was a lack of response to a request for initial risk assessment for a child who was displaying sexually abusive behaviour. And the recommendation from that inquiry report was that all decision-making procedures and processes would be documented. And in that report, you could see there was no evidence of a documentation of how decisions were made. And perhaps one of the crucial inquiries was that one of Danielle Reid. And here there was a concern that in terms of decision-making, police weren't using specialist staff to assist them to assess the situation. In the Western Isles, where there was a vulnerable adult, the police were... It was recommended that the police, in cases of working with vulnerable adults, that they should consider psychological assessments to assist them in thinking about the number of type of interviews that they needed to undertake in an investigation. The other issue particularly that came out in the Daniel Reid report, you remember, is that there was the importance of senior officers ensuring that progress is recorded and that the inquiry is taken to a satisfactory conclusion. The situation with Daniel Reid was events happened on New Year's Eve and information was passed between police officers in a car park as they were rushing between each other. There's no suggestion that that child was probably already dead by that point. So there's no suggestion that that resulted in the child's death. But what was the concern was that there was no documentation, there was no senior police officer taking forward to ensure that the child protection investigation had reached its conclusion. There was also a concern that there should be improved recording from sergeant to superintendent level and a particular concern in that report and other SCRs about senior officers' responsibility for ensuring monitoring and recording. And if you think of the Victoria Clambier report, in all agencies it was actually senior members of staff, senior management, who were called to account for their lack of audit and responsibility and kind of tracking progress in particular investigations. There was a concern, again, this really comes from the Daniel Reid report about overnight working practices, and there's recommendations that police working overnight should have exactly the same practices as police working during the day in terms of the recording, the follow-up, and in terms of a recording follow-up and recording of decision-making, which then would go to the officers who are coming on to the daytime shift. So that there were kind of clear lines of responsibility, and there was concern that overnight working practices in the police didn't allow for that. There was also a concern that, and this was with regard to uniformed officers, that there seemed to be a differential approach with regard to the type of abuse. So if a child presented with child sexual abuse, that would be referred to Family Protection Unit, or with severe physical injuries, that would be referred to Family Protection Unit. But where, in inverted commas, there was less serious physical abuse, there was a concern that uniformed officers took it upon themselves to deal with that and did not refer to the Family Protection Unit. In terms of risk assessment, again, Colin Evans, in terms of investigation of all inappropriate sexual behaviour, and about how decisions are reached as to the context of the abuse. There's also an issue about the appropriate use of risk assessment tools. And in Colin Evans and elsewhere in another serious case review, there was a concern about the use of adult risk assessment tools, TAREP and Risk Matrix, for use with young people. And there was a recommendation that it should be considered whether this was appropriate or not. The other issue in terms of risk assessment was the police having a lack of notification of adults without outstanding allegations or charges. Now, data management, I'm glad there are people here who are looking at data management, because this totally confused me. There are so many different recording systems for the police. It was very difficult as an outsider to understand, so I'm going to tell you what I found, and perhaps later you can elucidate exactly, you know, what was happening. There's a real issue in terms of recording of information decision-making. In Colin Evans, for example, there are a series of entries not recorded, and I'm going to name these databases, and there are many of them. A series of entries not recorded on the sex offender database and on the Scottish Intelligence Database. So that's two of them. In the Daniel Reid report, there was scanty information, inadequate documentation made by senior officers on the different databases. There are a number of serious case reviews and inquiries which suggest that there's inadequacy in terms of recording, and there's concern about the interface between VISOR, SID and ANDR. This presumably means more to you than it does to me. But I just noted all these issues down. And one of the recommendations was at that time that there should be progress nationally with regard to the ACSPOS Sex Offender Working Group and the VISA Implementation Group. So there might have been progress on that, which I'm not aware of, because I cut off the literature review obviously when I produced the report. There's also concern in Daniel Reid's report about impact, that it's not a flagging system which automatically notes violence. So there's an issue about that. And there's also concern about the ability of impact to incorporate child protection material. And info recording was decided it wasn't fit for purpose, because it's incident focused. It's an incident focused database. So it's difficult to search, it's time consuming. Similar issues occurred in the Victoria Clambier report, and it's also very difficult to get a chronology. So I hope we have a debate about that, where if we've got police officers here, they can maybe elucidate on how all these systems might now interface better. As always, there are always recommendations about training, support and supervision. There is an issue about senior police officers being trained in order to support staff, And the Daniel Reid reports found that there was no rolling programme of training in the force. And they thought that it was recommended that there should be intensive awareness training for non-specialised officers, particularly uniformed officers, so that all police officers have an understanding of their child protection responsibilities and procedures. And the Western Isles report was concerned that in some areas where there are fewer police officers and trained police officers on ground, what was necessary was that officers from different forces should be redeployed to assist perhaps areas like in the Highlands or Islands where there might not be at a particular crucial time where there are lots of investigations to take place, might not be enough officers, JIT-trained officers and other officers to take the investigation forward. The status of child protection work came up in a number of inquiries and serious case reviews. In Carl and Nicole Bone inquiry, the recommendation was that senior officers were to confirm the value placed on child protection work and confirm the levels of skills necessary to carry out tasks sensitively and effectively. So this inquiry report clearly found that they didn't feel that senior officers were placing value on child protection work, and this needed to be confirmed. And what that report was really concerned about was the lack of value might actually exacerbate staffing shortages in family protection teams. Again, this might be historical, it might be different now. There's an issue in a number of the serious case reviews. It's happened in the English inquiries and in the serious case reviews in Scotland, that there seems to be a lack of support of police post-investigation. And in a number of serious case reviews, this was compared to the support social workers might get post a harrowing investigation, where there would be supervision, where there would be debriefing. And there was a sense in which police officers were meant to get on with this and weren't given support and assistance. And there's been recommendations, for example, of counselling, that police officers were meant to get on with it and carry on the next day, and actually they also needed support. And that also came out, obviously, in the Victoria Columbia inquiry and others. There's an issue of staffing, and a number of inquiries. There's Daniel Reid, but there's a couple of other serious case reviews who talk about CID coverage, suggesting that there should be at least one detective inspector on duty at any time, and in some of the serious case reviews, there wasn't. There's an issue with regard to public holidays, a recommendation that the crime manager and the Central Child Protection Unit are available 365 days a year. That might be the case now, I don't know. And that there should be an area commander briefing 365 days a year. This is particularly arising from the Hogmanay New Year's Day concern about Daniel Reid. Child protection case conferences. Issues arose about which police should attend and what their status and role was. And SER5 was particularly significant in this respect. Quite a recent SER. There was a member of staff who was with the FPU on a six-month attachment, and she was told that her role was to attend the child protection case conference and provide information. There was information from another force, and she apparently asked the DS if she could get information from the other force, and the DS had said, you don't need information from the other force, we don't have any information, you just go, you don't have any information, but you need to attend. This is what the serious case review said. She did attend. She didn't provide any information because she didn't have any, and she didn't report back because she had not appreciated that she needed to report back. So that was a serious concern about serious case review 5. Recommendations from that is that only family protection unit officers attend, and that if officers are on attachment, they should only attend if they're involved in the investigation from beginning to end. There's the issue again about briefing and debriefing of not only investigations but going to child protection case conferences, and there's a recommendation that only DSs should attend at the pre-birth child protection case conferences. There's also concern about whether reports were provided at all and the quality of reports, and a recommendation that all reports should be quality assured by the DS before they go to the child protection case conference. So just to set this in the in UK findings, in 2002, the Chief Inspector's reports, I have lots of information from serious case reviews in England. I have to say, although serious case reviews in England are published, it's very difficult to get hold of them. So what I did, I took a random sample. I tried Gloucestershire, Sheffield, Hull, Warwickshire, and tried to go on local authority sites and tried to get to serious case reviews. And serious case reviews, although they're published, are really, really buried. You get the summaries of what's happening, biennial, you know, Brandon et al.'s biennial analyses of serious case reviews, which are published, but trying to get to the actual serious case reviews is very, very difficult. So it took a lot of detective work, actually, to try to find out where these serious case reviews were located. But in terms of the Chief Inspector's reports, there was a concern about caseloads of DS, that often they had their own caseload as well as managing, and therefore they weren't able to manage as much because their role as manager was kind of diminished because they're having to work with their own caseloads. It's probably less of a problem in Scotland, but the issue of non-coterminous boundaries, where police officers might be going to a child protection case conference and actually aren't able to take decision to have responsibility because of, for example, when you've got a number of London boroughs, if you think of what happened in the Victoria Clambier case, weren't able to take responsibility and to take action as a result of that. There was a concern that there were some police officers at that time who weren't trained who were leading joint interviews. There was a real concern about the status of child protection and very clear messages about the fact that senior police officers nationally need to validate the importance of child protection. At that time, the multi-agency protection role was kind of emergent, but there's an issue about the role and remit and status of the child protection unit, concerned that within the force they were seen as less important, if you like, than perhaps other aspects, for example, where CID might be working. Things changed a little bit by 2005. It was noted there was a change in status, but less than half of the forces, police forces, was child priority labelled as a priority. So child protection was labelled as a priority in less than half of the forces in England. It was noted that police had really kind of embraced issues of diversity and integrating that into investigations and practice, but issues of child protection weren't. There was still limited auditing of what was happening in child protection units. Still a lack of clarity in terms of status and roles, and a gap in specialist training with regard to officers who might be involved in child protection investigations and had not had adequate training. It's slightly different in England from what happens in Scotland, but that was the concern there. Very different in England to Scotland is that at that time, and even the serious case reviews I was looking at, which were 2008, the attention to domestic abuse was really very different from the police forces in Scotland. It was really a low priority. There didn't seem to be any protocols in place. And in virtually all the serious case reviews I looked at in England, domestic abuse was an issue, and in many of them they hadn't been followed up by either uniformed or other police. So that feels very different from the situation we have in Scotland, to my knowledge. And there was a recommendation there that the Home Office, ACPO and the Association of Police Authorities should really be thinking about national performance indicators in terms of child protection. So what I've given there, it's a 15,000 word report in 15 slides, so I'm just trying to give you slices of what I found from the literature. And some of the challenges I thought for discussion was what was the current status of the child protection work within the force. And I'm thinking particularly about the effects of cuts in public services because, you know, we hear certainly in England that chief police officers are saying that domestic violence units and family units might be disbanded because they aren't a priority. And there was even a quote that police officers are acting as social workers and that they need to be disbanded. So I think that's a current issue. There's probably still an issue regarding information sharing with other agencies. As I said, in some recent research I've done, I haven't found that to be the case, but we can be sure that the next child abuse inquiry that comes up, information sharing will be an issue. And I think that obviously is an issue about access to databases, issues of confidentiality, but also issues of transparency. So I think that might be an issue. The data management systems, I found it very difficult to get my head around, but I've reported as accurately as I could. And the other issue I found, certainly I've spoken to two police officers recently who are concerned about the impact of GIRFEC and how that's, how having, for example, a panel which takes referrals for domestic abuse and acts as a screening so that every referral doesn't go to the reporter actually results in a lot of police time. I know of one local authority where I think it's something like an admin worker is 2.5 days a week collecting information for a meeting, one meeting which could be 27 people are actually presented at this meeting, and police are involved in work where there isn't a crime, although they're giving really valuable information, very valuable information from what I saw in terms of intelligence. So I've done the literature review. I'm not operational, so I'm speaking from a position of knowledge in terms of the literature review, but ignorance in terms of operational issues. So I just hope that those of you operational can use what I've given you and work with that.
This recording is copyright of IRIS 2011. It may be reused under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 2.5 UK Scotland licence. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.